Hello and welcome back. My name is Michael Finney. Today I am joined by two AI artists that I've been working with. Their names are Alana Wilcox and Neil. Would you like to say hello?
Hello, everybody, and thank you for having me.
Hello, hello. Hello, Michael.
So we've been doing a lot together in terms of AI video lately, but for the both of you, you have a background, I would say, in still or even in physical art. And I'd like to hear more about how you fell into that and, you know, where it came from. Either of you can go at any point. You know, this is a conversation. So don't feel like anybody's stepping on anybody else's toes.
I can go first, I guess. A little bit about me. You know, I've always just been a creative, had that mindset, and, you know, life gets in the way sometimes and you don't have the time, to pursue, you know, some of your hobbies and passions. And these AI tools give me that time back, effectively. And it's allowed me to, you know, start experimenting and learning how these tools work and how they correlate with the ideas that I have in my mind. I did start off, you know, with Midjourney, 2-3 years ago. And as the tools continue to progress, I try them out. And I do think video, it's an interesting genre. You have a bit more of a direct conversation with the viewer. At least there's an opportunity to. Where still images, I find it interesting to me to try to have a conversation with the viewer just through a still image, though. So that's why I do like both mediums, though.
Well, and for myself, I do create physical work. Like, my background is in, more analog mediums, like fiber arts is where my passion and my love is. But I'm doing drawing and painting and all of that are mediums that as an artist that I really do enjoy working with. But as a little kid, I really, really loved stop motion animations and like claymation. And so, you know, the idea of being able to create things that have a fiber aesthetic and make an animation with the ideas that I have and to bring like my sense of humor to life in a video format just really excites me. And since I don't really have a lot of formal training in, you know, videography and just animation in general, as far as like the computer software for all of that, when I first started with AI, it was really as a way of trying to see how I could make my analog fiber art digital, so that I could create NFT art with my fiber art. And so blending the still, you know, photographs and images of my fiber art with AI was kind of where the still imagery, you know, part started. But then once I was trying to see other ways to kind of modify my art, right? Like, I could make it where there was a series of like animated pictures to do, you know, GIFs and things like that with the fiber art. That was like one path that I explored. And then, you know, doing things like animations with Procreate and stuff. But then really seeing how I could get the fiber aesthetic on characters or just scenes or, you know, whatever the case may be with AI, that's kind of where, you know, now that's my love, especially pairing concepts that maybe you wouldn't necessarily always think about, you know, like that would go with fiber. So maybe some more not safe for work type of subject matter is kind of why I love bridging these things that don't exist using AI.
Yeah, that's a very thorough combination of your background and the new mediums, right? The new tools. I like all that. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, for me, I don't necessarily think of myself as a filmmaker or, Yeah, maybe I don't really think of myself as anything particularly. I like to go between a bunch of different stuff. Whatever makes the most sense to deliver the message. I guess that's the right medium in general. Neil, are you telling us that you only started getting into visual art like 3 years ago? What else were you doing? You said you were always generally creative, so tell us a little about that.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, my first time, I guess, I ever created a, you know, digital image, if you will, you know, through prompting, was 3 years ago. But before that, I mean, as a kid, you know, art was my favorite class, and you know, I did that, you know, outside of school and entered contests and whatnot for several years. But as I grew older through my teens, sports took over for a little bit. So that passion kind of went aside. I picked up arts again back in college as kind of a little hobby, you know, classes that I would take as I went through college. And then, picked up prompting about 3 years ago.
Do you find any overlap between what you explored in your childhood and what you are doing now with artificial intelligence, machine learning mechanisms to create art?
No, not really. I've tried to, you know, pull on maybe memories from my childhood and depict those in a, you know, in an unusual manner. That would be the closest reference I would have to, you know, tapping back into that. But
so you guys were both winners of Chris and Keith's Guns Down, Cameras Up, Guns Down, even film AI film competition. Tell us about that experience. Tell us about what you submitted. Tell us anything about those pieces that you think is important. Alana, you can go first.
Okay, cool. So the piece that I submitted, it's called Frog's Lament, and that was the first real animation that I tried to create that had a narrative, but also that I created in collaboration with my husband, Greg Wilcox, where he was creating the music for it. And that was really just a very steep learning curve, trying to actually push the AI to create images and scenes that I had in my head, right? So like a lot of times people think, oh, you know, you just go and type in whatever words you want and yeah, poof, you know, it's gonna show up. And sometimes you're lucky and the first thing that you type in, you know, your prompt, you get it and it's wonderful. But when you're trying to do things that really haven't existed before, like when I was trying to create an anthropomorphic frog that's, you know, holding a picture frame and stroking it with his fingers, right? That was something that I couldn't get a reference image for. So it was very challenging trying to find the right words to use to get the image of a frog that had frog fingers and frog hands and not actually make it where there was like an entire frog in place of like a person's hand, right? So, you know, the video that I submitted took about 7 months to create. And even though the call for, you know, submissions was, you know, a couple of weeks where it was open, it was the first call for a video where that I could actually like submit this AI video after having it completed. So I was so happy that there was like an opportunity to actually share it and that, you know, there would be people that would appreciate it for what it was and what it went into. So I was just so thrilled to be able to be part of that experience.
Yeah, Alana, your piece was super, super unique. I loved watching it and watched it several times afterwards.
Neil, tell us about yours.
Yeah, this was my first, video open call I ever responded to. I saw that Chris mentioned it. I think when he initially mentioned it, you know, I bookmarked it, but kind of never went back to it. and had forgotten about it. And then I was on a space with Chris, and he was kind of pleading for people to send in submissions. And then there was a bunch of submissions after that kind of happened. But that's when I kind of kicked it in to create hurdles. I read, you know, the requirements and directions of open calls pretty closely, because that's what the judges or the people want. And there was one thing that it still sticks in my head, you know, to tell a story, there has to be, you know, an opening, conflict, and resolution, something along those lines. So that was my first time kind of ever thinking about making a video in that context and, you know, kind of scripting it out and storyboarding it in my head. So yeah, my idea was not, I'll say, well, it's about death and just kind of the ultimate conflict or the ultimate hurdle in your life you just can't get over. It's not a very fun video to watch and listen to, but it's something that was on my mind at the time, and I just kind of wanted to pursue and depict all of the challenges and hurdles that we come across in different phases of our life. So we had, you know, a baby, we had your teenage years, you know, your 30s and 40s, you know, your elder times, and depicting what types of hurdles or challenges that you encounter during that. And then I recorded my own voice for the voiceover, kind of a pre-verse poem script that is meant to guide the viewer through the video. So,
yeah, very good. Both good videos, solid and winners. We've been working on new pieces. You guys have been kicking out work pretty steadily over the last month and a half, you know, and there have been some really great things that have come out. More to come, I assume, as well. What have you liked? What has worked for you during this process? What are maybe some of your favorite pieces that you've worked on along the way?
Well, I just want to say, you know, a great big thank you to Neil, because as being part of a group or a collective like this, it's been so great to, you know, hear from people that are working with like the tools, but more in a cutting edge way, so that when new developments or new features are being added in different, you know, programs or just different tools are being made available, that the sharing of information about that makes it like it just feels like a very supportive environment, right, to be a creator in. And so, like, when Midjourney came out with making it where you could have, you know, the person, the character that you're creating be more similar, like, throughout your different generations, so that it doesn't keep changing the way that your characters look. That was a game changer. So now this animation that I'm working on with these cats, it actually looks like the same characters, you know, all throughout. So, you know, big thank you to Neil for sharing that, for me hearing about that from you first. And I think, to me, working in isolation as an AI artist, you know, it can be very challenging, right? Because there are so many advancements and so many things that you don't really know, like, what's going on in all the different applications, because there's just so many coming out every day. So having this kind of group, you know, as a resource has been, you know, just phenomenal. And I can't wait to share the cat video that, fingers crossed, I'll be able to be finished with in the next week.
Yeah, looking forward to it, for sure.
Yeah, and Alana, thank you for that text-to-voice website. I'm definitely using that for my one project that whenever I get around to it, I'm slowly developing. But that's a great site, so thanks for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I used it, You know, that's where I got Alan Rickman's voice. So it was super useful for me, you know, in general. The thing about it was I had thought about doing the voiceover myself, but because I was writing lines on the go, the thinking was initially like, oh, well, I'll just have Alan Rickman read them. And then if I need to replace them, I can later on. But it got to the point where I was like, I actually really like what Alan is doing with this script. And it's starting to kind of create a vibe through the whole thing.
That's so awesome. Yeah. So for one of the ones I used, Patrick Stewart, because I wanted someone that had like an old English accent, you know, that sounded really like a children's narrator voice, but that was very familiar to people, you know, and I think that it is interesting being able to kind of channel, you know, these actors as part of our stories and being narrators, but also having that like slightly off AI quality to it too.
Yeah, I don't mind the imperfections. I know there are better generators out there, like 11 Labs, which is maybe the marquee platform for that sort of thing. But at the same time, the state of the art at any given point in time, whether you're working with like premium tools or you're working with free tools, they're little snapshots of what's going on within the space. And I think that that is worthwhile to capture at the time, because eventually a lot of this stuff isn't going to be around or be accessible, or maybe it'll become cliche or uncool to use. You know, I think the three of us in general, being folks that are using AI for our work, you know, we all probably get some hate coming in or have conversations with folks that are anti-AI in one form or another. But eventually, I think like that'll just, you know, fade by the wayside. That's my thinking.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, that's one of the double-edged swords, I think, about being someone that's a creative that wants to learn how to use new tools, right? Because you're like someone that's encountering a new paintbrush for the first time, or just, you know, a new art medium, and you want to get excited about it. And then you have people that are telling you, like, what you're doing is not art. It's like, I don't understand. If I, you know, go to a museum and I get inspired by paintings that are on the wall, and then I go home and I, you know, use a paintbrush to paint by what I was inspired by, somehow that's okay. But like using AI to, you know, come up with imagery or art or animations or whatever the case may be, somehow that's not okay, or that's not creative, or that's not art, you know? So even just today I've been getting, a lot of blowback from people in the fiber art community that are like, that's not handmade. Stop, you know, putting up pictures of, you know, fiber art that's actually created by AI when there are people that can make handmade things. And it's like, yeah, but I'm a fiber artist and an AI artist. Like, I do both. I can make the thing that you see, and I can also make the thing you see, but it's not real. It's digital, right? It's just funny that there's, you know, people that are cheering me on saying, that's so cool, I love that AI sheep, and like, that's horrible. How could you possibly make an AI sheep, like, when there are people that can knit them, you know? So it's definitely challenging to be the person that is going first, if you will, in creating it. But I hope that as those people that don't really recognize or see AI as a medium will hopefully have someone that maybe they admire, or, you know, that's close to them, change their mind. One can only hope, right?
Yeah, I've been saying lately, everybody hates AI until they use it. Every single person that I've introduced it to has always been either extremely skeptical or just, you know, afraid or against it. And once you show them, you know, how easy it is to use, you know, to prompt an image or to type to ChatGPT, they're like, oh. So, yeah, that's always my thought, just on people who get upset or scared. Just give it a shot. You'll probably end up liking it. And maybe it helps you with your, you know, traditional art that you're creating as well. There's no reason why you can't generate something for references, or maybe use other techniques to bring that stuff to real life.
Yeah, that's fair. Alana and I had actually talked a little bit about the back and forth between the digital and the physical, and how you can prototype things, or potentially even, and the prototyping goes both ways too, in the sense that you could create a physical thing, capture that, bring it into the digital space, and then utilize that as a character reference or a scene or anything really. And the same thing goes for if you want to be able to ideate within artificial intelligence in a rapid way before you dedicate resources and time to making it actual, you know, physical objects in that same way. So I think most of the fear just kind of comes from being unfamiliar, like you're saying. And like, you know, there's a lot of mongering that's going on in general. And, I don't disparage these people, you know, that are looking out at the world and hearing about layoffs or that such and such types of jobs won't exist or something like that. You know, that's all fair, I suppose, to a degree, but there will be new things that come along. And, you know, if you're resourceful and industrious, I think you can just manufacture opportunities or outlets for yourself, regardless of what tools you're using. Who likes Excel that much? You know, if Excel went away, would that be a crime?
No, you're so right. And, you know, I think like what you're speaking to too, about like people being upset about AI replacing their jobs. The majority of artists that I think are upset are the ones that spent years and years honing their skills, right? As far as like executing something that requires a level of craftsmanship. So like if you're someone that does pen and ink art, and you know, you had to like really master holding the pen and you know, drawing lines and all of that. And now, you know, here comes along someone that can just use a prompt and make it look like, you know, this really well executed pen and ink drawing, then stylistically, yes, they're able to kind of capture that aesthetic. But there's going to be people that appreciate things that are made, you know, that are handmade versus things that are created or generated image wise with AI. So there is that about it. But I think it's really, like you were saying, to be creative, and it's incumbent upon the artist to come up with like new ideas, right? And so like if you're someone that is just really skilled at executing the use of a medium, but you don't have strong ideas, then that's where I think that those people might have a difficult time kind of figuring out where they fit into the whole new world, so to speak, with AI.
What do you guys want to do next in terms of AI video? I know you've got the cats that you're working on, but what would you like the collective or the program, maybe the schedule of programming that we're working on, what would you like it to do, you know, that it hasn't done, or do you feel that it could do?
I'll speak personally, and then maybe as a group, what I would like to do personally is create more abstract videos. I think most of the videos we see are, you know, photorealism, you know, recognizable characters or things, and really pushing into, you know, abstract images and storytelling through that. I'm finding challenging, but enjoying it. So that's what I'm planning on personally. Yeah, as a group, I'd like for us to make a video for, you know, some star, you know, a Web 2 star, or somehow participate in contributing a video to something in Web 2. I get Web 3 and love it, obviously, but I'm very much trying to push, you know, the bridging, the breaking of the barrier of, you know, getting this, you know, video in front of or in the hands of people that don't see AI art every single day, that don't have the opportunity to. So, yeah, I would love to make a music video for a band. I'm actually looking at like kind of popular but obscure bands on SoundCloud and trying to find them either on Twitter or something like that. Yeah, I'd like to reach out to them. But who knows? Who knows? But yeah, getting something for a star or IRL would be great.
Well, I mean, for myself, as far as like the way that we've worked so far as a group, it's been, like I said, it's great to see how the different like ways that people are approaching like concepts or ideas, you know, just even the whole what was the first one? I'm blanking on the word, but like when we were doing like the Lucky Shake and the Sasquatch, what was the word that we were using for our prompt?
It's like solar eclipse or something. Yeah, but like that.
Yeah, what rarity. Was the concept though?
Rarity.
Thank you. I was blanking on the word. So just like having something like that, I think it's really interesting to see the way that like all of us kind of work and do things separately. So one of the ideas that I had initially that I still think would be kind of a fun thing to do would be almost like an Exquisite Corpse where, you know, maybe like a game of telephone or something like that, where, you know, someone starts off with one part of a story, like the beginning, and then it passes it off to the next person. And then we have to kind of take it and run with it and do something else, kind of either continuing the style and changing up the story or continuing the story, but, you know, mixing in our own style. So I don't know, just being more playful with it and not necessarily having to follow, you know, maybe more conventional ways of filmmaking or animating, just in really leaning into what makes AI so fun as far as using initial images and, you know, playing around with like the different animation styles, whether you're, you know, animating from a still image or if you're using something like Deforum, you know, so just kind of playing around with like all the different tools that we have as a collective, I think would make it a very unique piece in and of itself.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I am very much down for that idea.
You see, and I think that's what would make it, I'm going to say like more than just AI, but to me, that's what would make it art, right? When we're taking something that's just an interesting concept or idea, having no idea how it's going to end up, but just being playful with it and following it to some type of conclusion. So, yeah, if we could all get our schedules and acts together, right?
Yeah, that's a good point that you make. How do you feel about the schedule? Because so like we crammed, right, for Rarity to be able to get all that out in that first week, which was, you know, really just a week to be able to hammer that out. I think that was fairly demanding in a similar way as like the music video pitches have been demanding. Whereas for me, I like to kind of sit back and give the development a little bit of time to make its way.
I somewhat prescribe to, you know, pressure makes diamonds. And I think having a deadline is not a bad thing, because you at least know what you're working towards. Now, depending on the timing of that deadline, that's a different story. I haven't felt rushed. I find myself, you know, okay, I've committed to this, you know, video or committed to do this part of it. You know, I don't want to let you guys down. So, you know, I always keep that in mind. And, you know, it's nothing that's above my skill level typically. So I can do it. It's just a matter of finding the time and and then actually focusing on that.
Yeah. So for myself, I don't have like any kind of input as far as like the deadline versus not a deadline or that aspect. It's more just the fact that like I was poorly planning timing of trips and traveling, so not having my full setup, you know, doesn't give me the full range of tools that I can normally use. But yeah, I think that, you know, having concepts that we're working on at the same time, or having something that we're working on together at the same time, definitely has that group dynamic of, yes, the team needs me, therefore I need to give it more of my attention, as opposed to, oh, this is, you know, something I can work on at my leisure, I'll take my time. So I definitely agree with you, Neil, that, you know, feeling like having someone else to be accountable to definitely puts a little bit more of a positive peer pressure on wanting to perform well and get pieces out in a timely manner.
Oh, on the deadlines. So I'll summarize here. I don't have a problem with deadlines. Like I said, I think it's good to know, you know, what you're working towards. I mean, literally, you know, towards a certain date where your work needs to be done by. And, you know, you kind of work backwards from that in terms of your scheduling of your own time. But I think it's great to, you know, I won't steal Lana's term because I like it better, but, you know, I don't want to let you guys down. So, you know, just having that, finding the time and then just putting the focused effort in, as opposed to, you know, oh yeah, I'm casually working on this, you know, project. Being held accountable isn't a bad thing.
I don't like to have to rush something out. I'm fine with a deadline, but the aspect of like it being overly rigorous, as opposed to maybe giving everybody enough time to percolate and turn out their stuff. I like the rarity thing, and I'd like to do more stuff like that as well. But I also like having, you know, 2 weeks to work on something that is a little bit longer and a little bit more thought out and structured and highly detailed. So before we wrap this up, are there any things we haven't talked about that you guys want to talk about or say that hasn't been said?
I'm curious just how much experience either of you have had using Runway prior to this experience, like if that was your video AI tool of choice before or not, because this was the first time that I was really using it. And so I think that also made me feel a little bit more like a newbie to the video generation.
It was Pika for me, for sure. I'd used Runway, but I liked Pika and was using Pika very heavily.
Yeah, I was a big Pika fan as well. That's what Hurdles, the movie that I made, was made on. I had maybe prompted Runway like twice when it first came out, and then never touched it again. And that said, I do think it is the premier video platform out there right now.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I've gotten better results out of Morph as I've been playing around with it. In fact, a couple of shots that I couldn't get in Runway, I was able to manufacture in Morph, partially because of content, but then also because of you know, the model, I guess. So that, you know, there's, I guess, what, 3 shots that'll be from Morph that'll be in the longer cut of the doc. So that's been cool. As far as I'm concerned, like I want to go where it makes the most sense. But in terms of the breadth of the platform and the tooling, yeah, Runway is just a head and shoulders above everybody right now. Well, hey, any final thoughts when we'll wrap it up?
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, just for me personally, this, you know, Web3 space and then finding this niche in AI art and finding even a deeper niche of a, you know, good group of people that you can rely on. It's just been very helpful and therapeutic for me personally. So thanks to you guys. Thanks to anyone else that ever listens to this. But It's just been an experience I would have never thought of and couldn't be more thankful for AI art and the community.
For sure. Yeah. Just that I'm so appreciative that there are other people out there that get as excited about this stuff that I do, you know, because then you can bring, you know, what you're creating to these groups and just being like, oh my goodness, look what I just discovered. And there are other people that get as excited about it as you. To me, there's nothing better as a creative, both to be supported and cheered on by, you know, your creative peers, but then also to be encouraged to even push yourself and to go even farther as an artist has been a really wonderful experience.
Very good. Well, hey, thanks guys. Alana, Neil, I appreciate you taking the time to talk, and we'll do it again before too long.
Sounds good. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Michael.